Fishy recording on the Cool Edit Pro. Some old school.
Alright.
Do we go on? Alright, we will.
Little comic shop of horrors.
It doesn't have a tagline. Alright, we'll do it anyway.
Heyo, and welcome to a special Halloween edition of Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm Dune, and this is a Give Yourself Goosebumps recorded on Halloween 2010. As of right now, it's just me and Taran trying to trying to choose the adventures and go on through. I'm dressed in costume as R.L. Stine. It's pretty sweet. You know, I don't want to brag too much, but I make a pretty good R.L. Stine. So, yeah, let's do this. This is number 17 in the Give Yourself Goosebumps set. You can tell because it shimmers in the light. It's a little comic shop of horrors. I picked it because I like those comic books. And you know, it's Halloween. We'll do a fun one. You know, fuck it. You know, I'm right. All right. and just the protocol in these now, because last time was such a clusterfuck, we're just going to do just going till we get a proper ending, as opposed to all the strange, oh, you died doing this and that, oh, you got arrested, oh, you decided to go home and not go on an adventure. I keep it fucking real, darn. And I've already given up on drinking beer out of the wine glass. I think my neighbors are outside. All right, let's do it. I thought after school clubs were supposed to be fun, you grumble. You love comic books, and a comic club sounds cool. But it's run by Horace Grumbacher, the dullest kid in school. All right, I gotta take off glasses. I can't read with fake glasses that I got from Jackass 3D to make myself look like R.L. Stine. How could someone make a subject like comics boring? Horace manages. He clicks on his slide projector to a picture of a comic book cover. Here's the first issue starring Super Doer, he drones. Today it's worth nearly $200,000. Click! And here's the first appearance of Ballistic Bug. The comic goes for nearly $20,000. I think they need to note that these are 1990s comic prices, and now those books that are fake in the story probably go for like $20. Like, I had a buddy call me up and be like, I found a copy of X-Force issue 1. I'm like, you lost money by buying it for a quarter. And if any kid in this club can afford it, as if any kid in the club can afford it, you think. The projector clicks again, and a horror comic appears on the screen. Excellent! You love horror, but Horace can even make horror dull. This issue of The Seller of Scary Stories went for $1,600, he lectures. An ugly face sneers at you from the comic cover. Yuck! It looks like a rotten pumpkin with warts. You turn away and notice the classroom clock. How did it get so late? You run outside, in time to see a horrible sight. Oh no! You groan. What's wrong? Find out on page 2. The school bus is already a block away and left without you. Thanks a lot, Horace, you groan. Because his boring lecture, now you have to walk home. If you follow the same route as the bus, you won't get home for hours. You decide you'd better try a shortcut, even though it means going through a part of town you've never seen before. You walk and walk along the shortcut. With every step you take, your book bag gets heavier. The area you're cutting through looks a little weird. The buildings are all old and dingy. The stores huddled together as if they're holding each other up. And the stuff in the windows is very weird. You pass a clothing store that seems to be selling Halloween costumes, even though Halloween is months away. Not today, am I right? Because it's Halloween right now. And I lost my place with that stupid comment. Halloween is months away, and those dolls in that toy shop window, they look like vampires. You're relieved when you spot a store selling vacuum cleaners. That's normal, you think. And next to it, hey, a comic shop. Want to visit? Go to page 3. You have no choice on that one. You step inside. The comic shop is dimly lit. You can barely make out the comics on spinning racks. Beyond, in deeper shadows, are tables with rows and rows of boxes. They are the back issues, where collectors look for treasures. The owner stands behind the cash register. He looks familiar with his round face and warts. But you can't place him. He grunts when he sees you.
Kids.
Well, what does he expect to come in and buy comics? You know, because I've never seen a kid in thousands of comic shops. As you walk past him, the store owner calls out, "Leave your bag up here!" You scowl. Why is he treating you like a thief? You think about leaving, but you like a rest from walking, and besides, you really want to check out some comics. Strolling around the racks, you notice the latest issue of Major Disaster. You bought it last week. The guy has a sticker on it for half the price you bought it for. Walking a little faster, you start picking up comic books. Doesn't the owner know what these things are worth? The deeper into the store you go, the darker it gets. A pair of bookcases block your way. But there's a little space between them. You see light coming through the crack. Turn to page 4. I'm sorry, there's no choices. There's a choice on this one, motherfuckers. You squeeze between the bookcases into an open area. A dusty light bulb dangles from the ceiling. In the dim glow, you can make out another spinning rack of comics. A sign taped to the top of the rack says, "You think this is a library? Look, but don't touch, or you'll be sorry." You peer at the comics on the rack. Whoa! That's the issue of Ballistic Bug from Horace's Slideshow. The comic is marked for $2. And up there, on the top rack, is that the incredibly expensive copy of Superdoer? Then you notice something else. A doorway. Beyond the rack, metal stairs lead downward to the basement, you guess. An arrow-shaped sign points down the stairway. It reads, "Horror." There's also a tattered sign on the door. You try to make out the faded letters. It seems to say, "No admittance. Trespassers will be glomped." Glomped? What's that? You don't really care. All you care about is making a tough decision. Should you take a closer look at the rack, or should you go down to the horror section? If you check out the rack, turn to page 12. If you go downstairs, turn to page 51. Are we going downstairs or are we checking out the rack? You know, we go on an adventure, we looking at boobs, am I right? Oh god, I could be playing the Minecraft update. Alright. Checking out boobs. Check out the rack. Page 12. You've got to see if that $2 comic is really the faint... You've got to see if that $2 comic is really the famous first issue of Superdoer. But when you grab the spinner rack, it starts to turn by itself. Still worse, the metal rack seems to have glued itself to your hand. You can't let go. Your jaw drops as the moving rack yanks you off your feet. You're dragged around in a circle, and the rack keeps speeding up. Soon, to your horror, you can't touch the floor anymore. It's like some sort of weird carnival ride. The rack is whizzing around, and you're flying through the air. "Hey! Hey, mister!" You yell to the store owner, but the words are torn from your lips by a screaming wind. You feel as if you're caught in a tornado. You clench your teeth to keep from groaning. Your body is stretched out like you're a warm piece of taffy. You shift your grip. One hand touches a comic on the wrap. The comic starts to glow. Now, suddenly, there's a new pull. You're being sucked into the glowing comic. Turn to page 103. I feel like this is some sort of abstinence education. Like, don't touch the racks or you'll get sucked into comics and die. It's probably just some R.L. Stine storytelling. Your body feels as if giants have been using you for a game of tug of war. You're sick and dizzy from the spinning, but you notice something is wrong. The world seems strangely flat. The colors are very bright. You peer up at an incredibly blue sky. Huh. It's like you suddenly went into Borderlands. Sky, wait a minute. How'd you get outside? An elbow jabs you. Someone steps on your foot. You aren't just outside, you're in a crowd. And what a crowd. You're packed in so tightly you can barely move. The person behind you is actually breathing down your neck. Could this be a parade? What's going on? You ask. No one answers you, but a voice cries, "Here it comes!" A shadow falls across you. When you see what's blocking the sunlight, your eyes grow big. It's a gigantic tin can with arms, legs, and a hand. No! It's a robot. The robot? I don't believe this, you gasp in strangled voice. But you'd better believe it. That thing is big as a skyscraper, and it's striding straight towards you. Turn to page 69. Excellent! Really? I hate when there's no choices. Okay. Yikes! You shout, everybody, run! You push, you shove, you try to get out the giant robot's path, but the crowd is too thick. You're trapped. Hey! A whiny voice says in your ear, I know you! You turn and spot a familiar face in the crowd. It's the kid from school named Wally. Come to think about it, he hasn't been in class lately. Where are we? You cry, what's going on? You just got on the Spinner Rack Express, huh? Wally asks. Okay, I'll make it fast. You're stuck inside a comic. It's the comic books universe. You roll your eyes. Yeah, right. No, it's true, Wally insists. Now here's the deal. You can shift from comic to comic using a magic word. But if you use it too often, you'll turn into an ink blot. What the fuck kind of storytelling is this? He shudders. It happened to the kid I was with, Alex. He tried to leave this comic. Now, he's just a smear. And I like to smear the queer. You glance anxiously at the robot. It's awfully close. You'll be smeared too if you don't get out of here, you declare. Turn to page 33. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Alright, this one's got a choice. Let me sip my fancy people wine. I don't even know what wine normal people drink. The crowd still isn't moving. The robot is only a couple of giant steps away. Have you used these words, you ask? Have you used these magic words, you ask? Wally nods. I started out in another comic. I was some superhero's dopey sidekick. Then I met Alex and we came here. All you have to do is think of another comic and say the magic words. Okay. That gets you to another comic. But isn't there a way to get back home? Back to the real universe? You ask. Wally glances at you. I think so. A mad scientist can send you. But you have to talk him into helping you. You can barely hear him. People are screaming and bumping into you. What are the magic words? You beg. Wally closes his eyes, thinking. Then he yells, Guess shot! And he disappears. You think of the two comics you'd been studying on the comic rack. Both of them have mad scientist villains. Will the magic words take you to them? Time to find out. You close your eyes. Oh, I know about Franzia. I'm just saying, like, you know, people without drinking problems. Okay. Do we visit the world of Superdoer? Go to page 104. Or would we like to visit the world of Ballistic Bug on page 66? Superdoer or Ballistic Bug? The bug! We're going to see the bug. That is on page 66. You shriek at the top of your lungs, Gesha! When you open your eyes, everything is still dark. For a second, you think it's the shadow of the robot's foot coming down, then you realize it's nighttime. With a sigh, you lean against a nearby brick wall. You made it. You're safe. Of course, now you have to find out where you are. Too bad it's so dark. Suddenly, yellow light glares around you. You blink. You're blinded. Then you hear a faint buzz. It rises to a whine. Your dazzled eyes see a figure in a tight brown costume with flashing insect wings coming out its back. Ballistic Bug! You're in trouble, the bug says menacingly. Trouble? You look down. There are tools in your hands. You also notice an open safe next to you. Ah, shit, you're a burglar. Ballistic Bug does not like burglars. You'd better jump to someplace new and fast. Yeah, nice choice, Taran. All right, do we jump to a different adventure of Ballistic Bug or try a totally new comic? More bugs or more whatevers? New comic, F it. No! Oh, sorry, I was overflowing my pour of that. There's weird sediment inside of the High Life, which I don't really trust. I never noticed that. You know what comic we shouldn't jump to? Fucking Star Wars Tales. Because I bought a bunch of those, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna learn all about Star Wars! And then the first book, like the third story in, was Skippy, the Friendly Jedi Droid, or something like that. And I was like, motherfucker, it just says censored, censored. Can you find a different way to say that? But what comic will you jump to? One of your favorites is Silent Sal, the comic book about teenagers and their whiny, stupid, meaningless troubles. But there are no mad scientists there. Well, you could try Superdoer, but you'd better make up your mind fast. Ballistic Bug is zooming straight at you. He's gonna flatten you. Hey, you've got it. There's another comic book that you like. It's about a super group of mutant. Wise Guys. It's like with the letter Y, so it's like X-Men. Their leader is a super scientist. That's the same as a mad scientist, right? Ballistic Bug's fist is about a foot from your nose. Keeping the Wise Guys in mind, you yell, "Guess shot!" Just before his fist connects to your jaw, Ballistic Bug fades out. Woo! You start to fade in on another scene. But before you can make it out and make out any details, look out! A voice yells. Turn to page 74. Ah, goddammit, no choice. You glance up. A huge hammer is hurtling towards your head. Thor! You throw up your hands, but you know that won't stop the falling hammer. You're dead. Your skin suddenly starts to tingle. Sparks fly around your hair. Then a lightning bolt flies from your head. It smashes the hammer to bits. Your jaw drops. You stare at the pieces of the wrecked hammer. No way! This can't be happening! You blurt out. While you blink in disbelief, the wreckage fades away. You're in a bare, gleaming room with a grid on the walls. You've seen this place before. It's the Peril Parlor, where the Y guys practice their powers against holograms. Where the fuck is, Damn it! I don't know where my girlfriend put it. I actually had the Wolverine combat chamber figure sitting here. Fucking girlfriends! Alright, sorry. So they're in the holodeck. Got it. And that means you glance down at yourself. Sure enough, you're in the pink and blue uniform of the Wise Guys. And with the lightning bolt on your chest, you'd have to be. Yo, Ray J, another pink and blue hero calls you. Professor Y wants to see us. Professor Y? That's the scientist you want to see. Isn't this just stealing? Old Man Logan was so good. Remember when Mark Miller was on that run of just awesome comics when he had Old Man Logan coming out right after Kick-Ass in 1985? All right, 35. Page 35. All right, this one's got a choice. I give up on my wine. You recognize the other hero. It's Stinky Stanley, the mutant whose horrible breath is a weapon, like Banshee. The professor is waiting, Stinky Stanley says. Professor Yves Yavoom. Also known as Professor Y. He's a powerful mutant, the leader of the Wise Guys, and a famous scientist. You follow Stinky Stanley to join the rest of the Wise Guys. Then, a flying chair enters the room. Seated in it is Professor Y. Really? Can you do this? Can you just have a different book? I know it's like, is it supposed to be parody? Alright. I guess what I'm doing is fucking illegal as is. I think if I make these comments, though, it actually fits in under Creative Commons. Because I'm making comments. Like, there was that one controversy where someone put a whole movie on YouTube or somewhere and made comments, and technically it was legal. Because, fuck it. He's hard to miss, after all. He's covered completely in bright red hair. In fact, he looks like an ape, except for those serious, wise eyes. Wise guys! He exclaims in a deep voice. My mental powers have detected a disturbance in the great flow of being. Somehow, aliens from beyond the universe have invaded. You gulp. Could Professor Y be talking about you? You hope not, especially when you hear what he's got to say. We must destroy these invaders immediately. To ask Professor Y more about these aliens, go to page 17. To try to talk the professor out of his planned battle, go to page 63. So, essentially, this is the Skrull invasion, right? I read every single Secret Invasion tie-in, and now I completely regret that. The Q what? Alright, sorry. Are we asking Professor Y about these aliens and turning to page 17, or trying to talk to Professor out of his planned battle and turning to page 63? Are we going to ask Professor X more about these aliens and turn to page 17? Okay, we're going to ask him about the aliens. Yeah, dude, they're Skrulls. Did you read Skrull Kill Crew? It was actually good. But it's from, like, the 90s. But it was written by, like, Grant Morrison and weird Grant Morrison still writing for stuff. It's just, like, a six-issue little thing. It's kind of good. But they brought it back during Secret Invasion. Anyway. You turn anxiously to the rest of the wise guys. Wolfenbean, the fighting vegetable, and Stinky Stanley look confused. So does Jean Green. Seriously, it's Jean Green. You're not sure what her power is, but you know it involves coming back from the dead. Oh, the Phoenix Saga. They're all fierce fighters. What will they do if they discover you're the alien Professor Y, Professor X is talking about? Can you tell us more about these visitors, you ask? Yeah, Professor, Jean Green pipes up. How do we know they're evil? Sure, Wolf and Bean chimes in. Maybe they're just lost or something.
This isn't something you vote over, Professor X growls. My marvelous mind powers warn me of danger.
He closes his eyes as though he's listening to a tiny voice, and then his eyes open wide.
One of the invaders is in this very room. He must be a shapeshifter.
Professor, you begin. Professor X whips round, pointing.
You're the one!
Find out who he's pointing at. 134. Oh no, my neighbors are here. Be cool. They don't speak English. Alright. The hairy hand of Professor X points right at you. It's not the smoothest answer, but it's the best you can do when your mouth is dry with terror. But Professor X's hand swings past you to point at Stinky Stanley.
No, the professor cries. It's you. No, wait.
He turns to Jean Green.
Now my power is pointing to you.
Something very strange is going on. The professor goes from one of the wise guys to another.
And you.
His voice drips with terror.
Great googly moogly, you're all from outside the universe.
You stare at the other superheroes. Could this be true? Could they all be kids who were sucked into comics?
Death to invaders!
Professor Y snarls. He flings deadly hairballs at you. You've seen these things in the comic. They can choke you to death. Turn to page 53. Static electricity crackles around you. Lightning bolts zap from your head to blast the deadly hairballs in midair. Good shooting, Ray J, Jean Green shouts. The other Y guys mob the professor. When the smoke clears, all that's left of him is a scorched spot on the rug. His mental powers were right. He was in deadly danger. You turn to Wolfenbean. How? You begin. The Bean Warrior shrugs. A couple of months ago, I walked in this weird comic shop and reached for this rack. Wolfenbean grins. It's cool. I like being a superhero. But what about the danger? You ask. You could turn into an inkblot. What are you talking about? Wolfenbean demands. You explain. No way, Wolfenbean scoffs. We've got it made. Watch. Guess shot. Stop, you shout. Too late. The Bean Man's body shudders. He's melting. The rest of the wise guys stare at you. You, Stinky Stanley shouts. This is all your fault. We're going to turn to page 132. Ah, fuck. Hey, lighten up, you complain. I told Wolfenbean he would turn into an inkblot. The writing was on the wall. Wise guys aren't laughing. You try again. How about if we change his name to Spot, you suggest. Whoops, bad joke. Get that kid, the fighting vegetable shrieks. The wise guys hurl themselves at you. As you sink under the attack, you think sadly, why did I have to be such a wise guy? Because they... the end. And they were the wise guys. They were the wise guys. That was an end. Do I go back to wherever the hell I was? 17. That was it, dude. It's kind of weird because the wise guys are stolen from the X-Men or stolen from Doom Patrol. Fucking real life, Stein. So, where do you want to go all the way back to? This is the last thing that was the, to ask Professor Y about the aliens or talk to him about his plan. Should we go on? Or Professor X? Oh, God. Wait, let me... Just want to make a loud sound in the microphone as a visual cue to let me know to edit here where I go. And now it's a square of sound. All right. Try and talk the professor out of his planned battle. Turn to page 63. What? But Professor, why, you blurt? Yes.
Yes,
the professor replies. No, I mean, Professor, why? Who's on first?
That's my name, Professor snaps. Don't wear it out.
I mean, you stammer. You try again. Why do you want to attack these visitors, Professor? Professor Y's eyes gleam.
If you has to ask that, then you're no true wise guy, he declares. You're an alien spy.
His hair starts to grow, reaching out to you. You've seen this in the comics, but actually seeing the hair creep out is, well, creepy. Whoops, you spent too much time staring. When you tear your gaze away, you notice that the tentacles of hair have wound around your ankles you can't pull free. But there's only one thing you can do now. It's risky, but you've got to use the magic words. Gas! Your cry is muffled as still more hair attacks you, stuffing your mouth. There's no escape now. Your doom is too horrible to describe. How horrible? Let's just say, from here on, it gets really hairy. The end. Motherfucker. So there's no good ending to that. I don't know what to say, dude. Alright. I don't know. We can... I know this book blows. I'm very aware. We can go to the main part of the book or whatever. I think this is like the side story where you don't go to that. We can go all the way back to almost the beginning. Or you can hand out candy to kids dressed as Jack Sparrow. Are we going again? Oh, no, I'm down. I got nothing to do but eventually hand out candy to kids. My mom's, like, sick or something like that, and can't hand out candy to kids. And so I just gotta get drunk at my parents' house and give candy to kids. All right. So we're going, We're going all the way fucking back to where we first go to the comic shop, right? And we're trotting along and we're looking at the nice expensive comics. We're being like, oh man, this is so awesome. Should I grab one off the spinning rack that eventually spins around and becomes a tornado and pulls us into random comic books? Or do we go down to the stairs that glomph you? Okay, we're going down the stairs that glomph you. Now I gotta take off my glasses again. You head down the stairs, but after your first step, the whole stairway begins to shake as if heavy machinery is working underneath. The stair treads under your feet suddenly tilt, then crash down with an echoing mechanical sound. Glomph! Now you know. The stairway has turned itself into a slide. Your feet skid from under you, and you bang your elbow. You're going faster. You can't stop. You claw frantically at the slide, but you can't get the grip on the smooth metal. You don't even slow down. You just make a noise like nails on a blackboard. Scream! It makes a good blend with your screams as you zoom faster and faster, deeper into the dark. Page 127. All right. You roll, bounce, even tumble in a somersault, and there's nothing underneath you. You shoot past the end of the metal slide and slam into a plywood wall. Then you thud down on some concrete. Ugh, you groan. That hurt! On your hands and knees, you try to climb back up the slide that used to be a stairway, but it's too steep and slippery. You slither to the bathroom again, trying to stay calm. You gaze around. You're in a small, shadowy room. Its walls are made of plywood. plywood. An opening leads to a plywood hallway lit by a single bulb. You walk down the hall. After a few yards, it turns. You find yourself in another little room. This one has three doorways. You choose the right one to find yet another hall. That's not how Choose Your Own Adventures work. They don't just say there's three doorways and you choose one. Anyway, that one zigzags to two more rooms, then a four-way intersection of corridors. What's going on, you mutter. I feel like a rat in a maze. Someone will say what is lost can never turn to page 47. Am I the only one that liked Billy Corgan's solo techno album that sounded like a goth version of the Postal Service? No problem, you tell yourself. I'll memorize my route. To make it easier, you decide to put only torches on the right side of the wall. That way, you don't even need your compass to find your way back using the, like, Minecraft technique. Alright, sorry. You only try to make right turns. That works for the first four choices you face. Then, you find yourself in a room with only one doorway. On the left. By the tenth choice, you're mumbling to yourself, trying to remember which way you went. This place is definitely a maze, and it's bigger than the basement of the comic shop. You feel as if you've been walking for miles. How can that be? The next room you find is stacked high with old copies of The Cellar of Scary Stories. They're all the same issue that Horace showed you a slide of. The guy with a face like a warty pumpkin is the series host. His name is Milo the Mutant. Hey, now you realize why the comic shop owner seems so familiar. He looks just like Milo the Mutant. This is starting to get creepy. Then you hear a noise echoing through the maze, a slow scraping sound, like a foot dragging on concrete. Someone or something is following you. What should you do? If you go back and see who's following you, turn to page 89. If you'd rather get the fuck out of there fast, turn to page 50. Let's get the fuck out of there fast. It's just me and you, dude. Just me and you. I upvote your support. You get tons of goosebumps, karma. Also, just looking. I know. God damn it. Whatever. All right. You walk faster and faster until you break into a run. At first, the footsteps fade. Then you hear loud clomping. It sounds as if there is a herd of elephants hot on your heels. You glance back as you go through a doorway. Ow! You yell. You brush against jagged plywood. A 2-inch splinter stabbed you in the arm. Gritting your teeth, you pull out the splinter. Blood stains your t-shirt. From several turns behind you comes a rumbling roar. Uh-oh! Can whatever chasing you smell blood? I read that like a fortune cookie. Can whatever chasing you smell blood? The clomping sound turns into a crashing gallop. You try to run faster. Flinging yourself through another doorway, you find yourself in a long hall. You're running flat out, but the stomping feet are right behind you. One look over your shoulder and you scream! The creature chasing you looks as if it were sewn together from several different animals. It has the body of a shaggy bull and a huge feather eagle wings. Worst of all, it has the head and fangs of a lion. Turn to page 54. I think this shit's in the Bible. Book's retarded. Hot breath ruffles your hair. The lion's roar deafens you. When your ears stop ringing, you hear a voice. Up here! You peer up to find a kid leaning over the plywood wall above you. He stretches his arms to you. Jump, he yells, I'll pull you over. You don't need another invitation. You leap as high as you can, reaching for the boy's hand. Will you make it? Is luck on your side? Take a look at the hour hand on the clock. If it's close to an odd number hour, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, or 11 o'clock, turn to page 43. If it's near an even number hour, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, or 12 o'clock, da, da, da. Mine's closest to 3. 43. Looks as if luck is against you. You fall short of the boy's reaching hands. Instead, you bang into the wall, then crash the floor. You lie there, frozen. The lion, bull, eagle, beast comps closer. It growls in triumph. Then the beast leaps backward suddenly, yelping in pain, its paw at its nose. What happened? Well, maybe luck is with you after all. You look up. The boy is still leaning over the wall. He holds a slingshot in his hand. Try again, he yells. You scramble to your feet. The patchwork beast lets out a furious roar. Zing! Something flies past your ear. The beast yelps again. Bullseye! Right in the snout. You leap again. A hand catches your wrist and hauls you up. And the lion creature is right behind you. Page 129. Huge jaws snap hungrily just inches below your feet. But then you're safe on the other side of the wall. The patchwork creature roars again. Roar! It comps off to the right. You stare at the kid who helped you. He's bigger than you are and older. Who are you? You babble. What are you doing here? He grins. It's a long story. To start with, my name is Bob. You introduce yourself. But he's not really listening. The lion thing knows its way through the maze. It's going to find us if we stick around. What do you say we get the fuck out of here? Sounds like a great idea to you. Bob starts leading you through the maze. There's more of us trapped down here, he explains. We've got kind of a camp set up. He gives you a long stare. I think everyone will be glad to see you, he announces. Very glad. Dude, this must be how the Chilean miners did shit. Okay, we're on 39 now. I feel like this is like maybe the least entertaining Goosebumps ever. I apologize. Okay. Bob moves confidently through the maze. In some areas, though, he motions for you to be quiet. You tiptoe along, and you notice that he keeps his slingshot ready. The maze is an abandoned sub-basement for the whole block, he explains. It's full of crazy, mixed-up animals. Each has its own hunting ground. And you fight them with that? You point at Bob's slingshot. Bob shrugs. It's all we've got, he admits. I was lucky with the lion thing. It just hates getting hit in the nose. Soon after, a weird noise echoes through the maze. Shh! Shh! Don't worry, I'm drunk too, Darren. Bob stops. His face turns pale. What? You begin. He shakes his hand at you. Quiet, he whispers. Bob seems to be listening carefully. You realize he's trying to figure out where the sound is coming from. At least he makes up his mind. It'll be here in a second, he whispers. Come on. He boosts you up to the top of the wall, then leaps himself and misses. He bangs against the plywood. Then you hear a loud hissing sound. Chapter page 27. Bob jumps again, and you help him over. Get down, he whispers. But at that moment, the beast arrives. You freeze in terror. Now you know what was making the weird rustling noise. The creature has the body of a giant snake, but the head is human. Sort of. In place of hair, hundreds of tiny snakes wiggle on its scalp. A hand grabs your ankle and yanks you down. Bob drags you along in silence through several corridors. Then he finally speaks up. Pretty awful, huh? That's probably the most dangerous monster in the cave. It wraps around you, crushing every bone in your body. Then, it swallows you. Whole. Page 6. Okay, this one has a choice, don't worry. Shuddering, you follow Bob. The angry hissing of the snake creature fades, but you find yourself glancing back every few steps. Anything that sounds like a scrape freezes your blood. You don't want to see that thing ever again. All too soon, Bob halts. Wait here, he says, pointing to a doorway. I'll get Russell. Who's Russell, you ask, and why do I have to wait? Russell is our leader, Bob replies. He declares whether or not you can join us. Until then, you're not allowed in our camp. He looks you over. Don't worry, though. I think you're just what we need. Bob goes off, leaving you by the doorway. This is great, you think. You're lost in a maze where a giant snake monster rules, and now you have to wait alone. Or do you? To follow Bob, turn to page 131. If you obey him and wait, turn to page 20. We waiting for Bob, or we going out on our own? I mean, they could help us in the camp, but we don't trust them. Sorry, we're... Yeah, wait, do we follow? Oh, wait, we're not even leaving on our own. I apologize for fucking up the choices. We can either follow Bob, or we can obey him. Oh, wait, we can't obey him and wait. Damn it. We can't go out on our own. That's my point. We can go with him in there, or we can wait around for him. Sorry! There's a lot of pressure here to make the goosebumps be goosebumpy. So we can follow Bob or we can wait around. That's what we can do. We can't go out on our own. Okay, follow Bob. Sorry. 131. I'm not gonna hang around like an idiot, you fume. You step through the opening. Now, which way did Bob go? There's yet another hallway. At the end is a room. As you scat around, you realize this room is different. The walls are the same old plywood, but there's a trap door in the middle of the concrete floor. Your heart beats faster. Could it be the way out? You've got to investigate. The door is made of wood with a big metal handle. You grab hold and heave. Turn to page 110. The trapdoor flies open more easily than you expected. You drop to your knees, eager to explore what's down there. But there's no way down, no stairs, no ladder, not even a fucking rope! Fog seems to seep through the trapdoor. As the misty wisps touch you, you shiver. You've never felt anything so cold. On instinct, you try to leap from the doorway. But it's already too late. Your muscles won't obey, they're frozen. The fog is all around you now. A thin film of ice forms on your skin. Dimly, you notice Bob and another boy peering through the doorway at you. You were right, Bob. It was a trap, the strange boy says. That kid was just what we needed. Better a stranger should get hurt than one of us. That's all you hear. Then, icicles on your front half pull you off balance. You topple forward into the dark hole. Sploosh! You plunk into icy, black water. A swift current whirls you away. What's happening? You wonder foggily. Then you pass out. 137. When you wake up again, the first thing you notice is that you're really cold. The second thing you notice is that you're lying on a metal table, surrounded by people in white coats. You blink. What's up? You ask. Where am I? The kid's alive, a man cries. It's a medical miracle. As it turns out, the people in white coats are scientists studying the ice in Antarctica. Imagine their surprise when they found you, frozen in one of the icebergs, alive. No one knows how you got all the way to Antarctica, or how you stayed alive in your ice coating. But for the next 2 weeks, you're poked and prodded by dozens of doctors. Finally, they give up and send you home. And that's when the newspaper and TV stations start calling. They all want the life story of the Ice Kid. And they offer you big bucks. Soon, you have so much money you don't know how to spend it all. Well, actually, you've got a few ideas. Starting with a trip to the comic book store. That was that a good ending? Should we just end there? Is that it? I don't know. You went through some ice and somehow you got rich. I mean, that makes sense. Story checks out, right? Happens all the time. So my great-grandfather made his millions. And that's why I live in a tiny apartment in
all his panic neighborhood.
All right, anything else before we go on this one? Huh? Anything? No? God bless you in your quest for MILFs. MILFs. Wow. Alright, I need to stop talking. I gotta give out candy. Happy Halloween, everyone! Tyron, you rule. Thank you. You know, stay spooky, bitches!